Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. Claude is coming to us live from the studio. It's so heartwarming to see those toasty palm leaves. Hey, Claude, how are you doing?
Well, what you're seeing is the toasty palm leaves. In front of me, I'm seeing a studio that hasn't been touched in months. There are packages everywhere. It's chaos here. That's why I had to come in. We got to go through some of these boxes.
Anything good?
Yeah, a mattress, more sewing down south pillows, some copies of my book, lots of skincare, lots of different new sponsors coming on. So it's exciting. But before we get into today's show, I have four things to say that I actually wrote down.
Wow. Wow, this better be good.
The first thing is that I wanted to let everyone know that if you're coming to my shows this weekend in Boston, on Saturday and Sunday, we will be having spritz, which is very exciting. So come thirsty.
Great.
Another spritz-related announcement is if you're a California resident, we are now being sold in BevMo locations and Total Wine. So I know a lot of the locations have received the shipments yet and you guys have already gone. Some of them are still rolling out, so just call your local BevMo, your local Total Wines, if you want to get spritz in-store, which is very exciting. That was two.
Okay.
Three, do you remember how I was talking about a week ago that I caught up on RuPaul's Drag Race and my favorite queen was Cornbread, which ultimately meant she was going to go home soon?
Yes.
I forgot to tell you that on last Friday's episode, Cornbread hurt her ankle and went home. So I literally cursed her immediately.
But it's pre-filmed, so not really.
And the fourth thing I have to say is I have an enormous surprise for you.
For me? Is it just for me or is it for everyone?
For you. Well, everyone can enjoy.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. What is it?
So do you remember how I called you last night and then you were like, sorry, I just woke up, I'll call you back. And then I said, no, never mind, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't forget. I realized the thing I wanted to show you, I wanted to show you on air because it is a gift for you.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm
ready?
So excited. Yeah.
Hi, Jackie. This is Carmen from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Claudia wanted me to tell you good luck with your pregnancy and that you're an amazing sister. She loves you so much and believes that you will be a great mom to your baby boy. I have a joke for you that I think you will thoroughly enjoy.
Here's a joke.
At the wedding, there are three rings. There's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. I hope you have a great day, a great year, and you will be a great mother to your baby boy. Bye!
Oh my God. Carlin, if Carlin says I'm going to be
a great mom,
then it's facts.
So for those who may not be familiar, literally a month ago, I tried to get a cameo from Carlin when Jackie was really at the height of her obsession with Carlin, and it went unresponsive. And then last night, the cameo gods opened up their clouds and dropped a cameo from Carlin.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. You obviously have to send it to me. Damn, I haven't seen Carlin in a while because they've been in Zion, so she hasn't been on the show. But look at her. She's such a professional queen, like hitting all of her talking points.
Ring light.
Throwing in a joke. You love to see it.
Yeah, so that really made my night last night, and I'm glad you didn't pick up the phone when I called because I think it's better to have shown it to you on camera.
That is so sweet. I feel so, like, thought of, and I really appreciate the gift. You know, I love our sporadic gift exchange.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since we've done it, and now it's my turn. I owe you.
That is true. You do owe me, and I don't know how you're going to top a cameo from the one and only Carlin.
No, that's a literally an amazing idea. I don't know how I'm going to top that with a gift that you're just going to leave in the studio and never take home.
I know. Also, speaking of studio, I am at the studio today, which does mean my tabletop triangle will be making many appearances. So get ready for lots of song and dance today, y'all.
I'm so excited. It also means that you are filming an interview with a guest.
Yeah, so I'm in studio because I'm filming an episode today that will air tomorrow with our, we'll do a regular episode, excuse me.
So it's a guest segment.
Yeah, it's a guest segment. We'll do a regular episode tomorrow, and then at the end I'm sitting down with someone who's been highly requested on this show, and someone who I've actually never met, but I've spoken to like a bunch of times, so I'm actually excited to meet them in person, and it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited as a fan to watch the two, as a fan of both of you, actually, just to watch, like, two people who I enjoy converse. It's something that I would watch on my own if I wasn't a participant in this show. And no pressure, but, like, you gotta crush it.
No, I know. and we also just have, like, a great show today, because there's obviously the Fast Five. It's Dear Toasters, which is always a great day. And did you watch Summer House?
I did. I caught up on Summer House last night. I'm pretty much all caught up, except I didn't record the first 20 minutes of last night's episode. So I missed the response of, like, are you hooking up with Kristen?
So we didn't really get much. Craig was being a gaslighter. And, like Paige was basically like, I know I can't be mad, but, like, I can be sad.
Yeah, sure. But, like, she's doing the exact same thing with Andrea, like, literally to a T, and Andrea's in the house.
No, and she anyways, knows that, but she's now discovering, like, she actually has real feelings for Craig.
Totally, and I'm excited to talk about it. And so just those 20 minutes I missed, but I watched the rest of the episode and I watched everything that I had missed previously. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and I just want to get your take on, like, everyone, like, what your thoughts
I have some strong feelings, but I'm also seeing how, like, my feelings are already changing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't want to say anything, like, too hurtful, because I can't take that back.
Right.
And I'm really, I don't feel this way about Summer House, but I feel this way about Housewives. It's like, doing this show, it, like, I sometimes feel like I might not want to say something about someone just in case, like, we ever have them on. You mm-hmm. just don't want, like, your words to come back to haunt you. Mm-hmm. And then I think we need to, like, make a pact, like, either we keep recapping and saying our truth, or no Housewives come on, because it's like, you don't want to say something you'll later regret.
I want Paige on the toast, so.
I couldn't think of one crossword to say about Paige.
Oh, me neither. Literally, can you imagine just, like, running around in a house full of cameras, looking as snatched as she does, like, with her legs in different positions? Like, I would be so self-conscious. She's so stunning. And also, her mom gives such good advice. I was thinking, like, that is really sound, motherly, good dating advice.
Yeah, except she's Team Andrea, and I can't.
She doesn't know yet. She doesn't know yet.
She doesn't know Craig like we do. But no, I wasn't talking about the Summer House cast. Like, I feel comfortable sharing my thoughts and opinions.
Your true thoughts.
Yeah. And most of them are positive. But it is interesting how, like, people just can grow on you in one episode, and I'm like, oh,
mm-hmm.
I take back everything I said.
Totally. Totally.
So I guess without further ado, because we have so much to do, let's get into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Gem. So I have taken supplements for quite some time, and I've found that either they don't work or they just kind of make me feel, like, worse. And that's why I love Gem, because nearly 90% of Americans are nutrient deficient. There's a massive misconception that just because you eat healthy, your body doesn't need anything extra. And our food system today is totally broken. Even if you eat a well-rounded diet, it's impossible to get all the nutrition you need. And Gem is solving this issue by filling the gaps in your diet with daily nutrition in one delicious bite. Because Gem believes in eating your vitamins, because food can't fit in a pill. Gem is made up of a blend of 15 plus whole food ingredients that give you all the essential vitamins, minerals, adaptogens, superfoods, prebiotics, and probiotics to address our modern lifestyle needs and key deficiencies, helping with total mind and body support. I have found that since taking Gem, I'm really feeling, like, a lot of difference in my mindset and my overall fatigue, which has always been a problem. And that's always what I've turned to like vitamins and supplements for, but I haven't had a lot of success until Jem. Like I feel a visible difference. I don't have like that 3 o'clock fog or crash. And if you want to check out Jem and try their seasonal favorite citrus ginger daily, you could try it for yourself. And we have a special offer for the Morning Toast listeners. Go to gemvitamins.com/TMT and enter code TMT at checkout for 30% off your first order. That's gemvitamins.com/TMT for 30% off your first order. Thank you, Jem, for sponsoring today's episode and to Stamps.com. Because time is money, don't waste either with repeated trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you can skip the trip and focus on how to make your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer and saves you money in the process, so you can spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. Stamps.com saves you time, money, and stress. For more than 20 years, they've been an indispensable additive for over 1 million businesses. So whether you're sending invoices, you're running a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. You're up and running in minutes, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code TOAST for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. There's no long-term commitments or contracts required. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code TOAST.
Awesome. Okay, our first story, like I can't believe this is news. I feel like I'm in middle school, but it's also a big deal. Pete Davidson calls Kim Kardashian his girlfriend for the first time. Pete Davidson was on People, the TV show, and when he was asked if his heightened fame had led to a more fun lifestyle, he simply responded that most of his days consist of him showing up to a set or hanging with friends or his, quote, girlfriend. He said, or if
he
I'm
ran
off,
right
I,
by that word.
Yep, I just either hang with my friends or chill with my girlfriend inside, so I don't do much. I mean, we have to take stock here. We have to zoom out. They have been linked since October. It is February. Like, that is a long time, and they're still together, and they're together all the time. Like, duh, they're boyfriend and girlfriend, but it's still shook-worthy to hear him say it, considering I don't think any of us thought that we would still be here 5 months later.
No, and he literally swallowed the word, like, I gotta hang out with my friends, my girlfriend. And also, there were two other notable things that happened from the interview. In the background, the host pointed out, was like, do you have a Kim Kardashian? You know those prayer candles where, like,
yes.
They're like those long, tall candles? Kim has one with her face on it, and he had one in his room, which was incredibly cute. And then also, she was asking him about Valentine's Day, and he was like, this is, like, the first year I think I'm, like, having a real Valentine's Day, which is so cute.
How is it the first year he always has a girlfriend?
Maybe not, like, in February, because he does, like, brief stints, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure
he's
maybe
more of a
he, like,
time
is one of those
boyfriend.
He's one of those guys who, like, breaks up before Valentine's Day, so is, like, not to get too serious, resumes after Valentine's Day. But because he's looking forward to Valentine's Day with Kim, like, once again shows that this relationship is much more mature than we thought it would be.
You know, like, when it first started, I was like, this is perfect thing for Kim, you know, bounce back, have fun. But I don't know, the more I learn, the more I think this has OTP potential.
OTP potential? You think so? I mean...
I don't know. Like, it seems like Kim is in the best place she's ever been.
Anything could happen. And Pete does have to, you know, settle down at some point with someone. And maybe it's Kim. I haven't really confronted that thought yet. To me, this is still, like, you know, a cuffing season fling and, you know, rebounding from however long she was married. But I would love
to
to be wrong here. I welcome that.
I doubt she wants to, like, jump back into, like, a commitment marriage OTP. But you just never know. Like, you expect a rebound and then you just fall head over heels. You just never know. That's the beautiful thing about love.
Yeah. So that's really exciting on the Kim and Pete front.
So happy for them.
Something for the Keat stands. Also, our next story is a little more Pete Davidson news, completely unrelated, but still exciting. New York City is giving Pete Davidson and Colin Jost extra time to move the Staten Island Ferry. So Pete Davidson and Colin Jost bought... Okay, I don't know if you know this. Pete Davidson and Colin Jost bought a retired Staten Island Ferry, and they want to turn it into a comedy club. But they're having a hard time.
Oh my God, I love that idea.
Yeah, they're having a hard time moving the ferry and, like, getting it into port, literal ship at port. But the city is giving them extra time to figure it out. The massive ship called the John F. Kennedy was still berthed Saturday on city property near the St. George Ferry Terminal, well past the 10 business days they were required to move it by. However, the Post is told that City Hall is giving them an extension. They're working with us. They know it's not an easy task, and they're being very helpful in helping them get the boat to a pier. But then they're going to start a comedy club in a retired Staten Island ferry, and I just think that is so cool.
No, that's a really sick idea. I love people, you know, obviously Pete Davidson is from Staten Island, and I saw people on TikTok were shook to find out that Colin Jost was from Staten Island as well. Maybe because Pete talks about it like 24/7 and Colin Jost has never mentioned it. So I guess this is what they were referring to. This is how the internet found out that Colin Jost actually was, in fact, from Staten Island. I love people who give back to their community, who want to help their cities. New York is in dire need of some new attractions. I think this is such a cool idea. I can imagine getting like a little nauseous. Like, you're already nervous. You're doing stand-up for the first time. You just got booked 5 minutes at the Staten Island Ferry. Stomach's in knots. You get on stage. The boat doesn't stop moving. You just puke.
Yeah, but you have to think of all of these like cruise performers and stuff who perform on boats all the time. Plus, the ferry
perform on huge boats.
This is a big fucking vessel. Like, okay. this isn't a little, you know, tugboat. It's big. I'm sure you could feel like the motion of the ocean beneath you, but I don't think it'll be that crazy. It's like when you go to like a restaurant like Grand Banks. You know that place?
Where yes,
it's like
a boat. On the boat.
This is so much bigger than that.
Yeah. No,
yeah, and people go there cool. willingly. People go there of their own volition, so.
They do. I think this is such a cool idea.
Yeah, me too. And just the idea of thinking about, like, Pete, Colin, Kim, ScarJo, like, taking in an evening of comedy on a retired Staten Island ferry is the sort of dreams that I didn't even know that I had.
And you know what? This is in... from a business perspective, like really a no-brainer, because I can't imagine they're going to have a shortage of comedians who would love to do shows there. I mean, up and comers, of course, because you want to be seen by Colin Jost, who writes for SNL, and Pete Davidson. But then also, like, they have so many comedian friends. Like, this is going to be a pop-in destination. They want to park it in Staten Island?
No, just a pier off the in the city. They need to find, like, you know, a home for it. But they're having a harder time moving it from where it is right now. It like is going to cost a lot of money and a lot of
manpower. The boat just need to like put it into drive?
That would make sense, but
it's
maybe
in the water and it's a boat.
Where are the keys?
What's so difficult? I'm not understanding. Put the sail up and go.
That is so funny.
Maybe it's broken
and that's why they have to tow it. Yeah, maybe. Exactly, they do have to tow it, but that's really a good idea.
Something worth thinking about.
Something to think about for sure. I mean, who knows? Maybe this will become like the premier comedy spot in town and like you'll be able to see Not Like Other Girls there.
Oh my God. I would love to. I would be honored to. Humbled to. I think this is such a cool idea. This is so unique. I can't think of anyone doing. It's so them because Pete is so Staten Island and they're so comedy. And I just think it's great. I think it's going to be giving Comedy Cellar a run for their money.
Yeah, no, and I think there's never enough comedy in this. Never. People like love a night out. I think this is just a great idea by all accounts, and I hope I step foot in there one day.
Me even too, though I'd love probably, to support.
I'm the one who would get queasy. Like that's too much for me. But I'm very delicate with the motion of the ocean, so I'm not one to go by. But
you're so delicate. You just make little small poo rocks.
Small poop rocks. Oh my God, that small was so rocks. Fucking funny yesterday.
If you haven't listened to yesterday's episode, we hit off our inaugural segment. We launched.
Inaugural.
Okay, whatever. We have a new segment on Mondays called Unburden Yourselves. And if you want to submit, I just want to stress the email is Unburden Yourselves, plural, not Unburden Yourself. We couldn't get that email. What?
Right. And because of that, we're going to make the name of the segment Unburden Yourselves. Because why do we need to make it so fucking confusing? It's Unburden Yourself, but the email's Unburden Yourselves. It's just... The whole thing is called Unburden Yourselves.
It ain't right.
I changed
right.
I realized that yesterday, so I changed it in the description of the episode because I was like, why are we making our lives more difficult?
Harder.
Yeah.
It ain't right.
It ain't right. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we are welcoming another queen to the pregnancy club. Shay Mitchell is pregnant, expecting her second child with Matt Babel. She announced that she is pregnant with her second child and said, saying goodbye to a loved one while simultaneously experiencing the joy of welcoming another into this world is the great cycle of life. It is also my most challenging season to date. She said her grandmother had passed away last week, so she's, you know, these two things are happening at the same time. That's a lot emotionally, but we are very excited for her.
She's so premium. Like, everything she puts out is just like gorgeous, stunning, perfect. This photo shoot she had was chef's kiss, impeccable, just like gorgeousness. But I love to talk, excuse me, hold on, I have to sneeze, I'm going on mute. Oh, I love that I can mute myself. Totally. This talking about Shay Mitchell, like, really reignites my love for examining the post-life and career of all the Pretty Little Liars girls. Like, for me, and do I talk about this a lot? Is this one of my things?
It's not one of your things, but it's like,
it's getting there?
No, it's not getting there. It's just, I don't know where I would categorize it, but go off. You're very passionate.
I just love, I think it's, like, such an interesting, like, Hollywood, what's it called when it's like a test case? Case study. On how four girls can rise to fame and then they all literally did completely different things with it afterwards. And I feel like if I had to have been one of those girls, I would have wanted to be Shay Mitchell.
Yeah, but which part do you think that she's excelled at best? Because she does a lot.
Yeah, but she's, I would say her career is like being like a really, really high profile influencer.
Yeah,
but I know she also acts a little bit.
And she's an entrepreneur. She has her, luggage company. She has a cocktail. Luggage company.
And a canned cocktail.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I think she's, like, did it really well. Like, I remember when she was on Pretty Little Liars, especially towards the end, she was just, like, plugging her YouTube channel so much. And I'm like, why are you doing this? But, you know, long term, I think she has such an interesting, like, well-rounded career. That includes acting, but it's not the main drag.
Yeah, for me, I'm more of a Lucy Hale. You know, I would have pivoted towards Hallmark movies and the CW and influencing as well.
Also good. And then Troy and Belisario very much went like the activist route. I know she's like a big activist, especially on social media. And Ashley Benson just kind of went like the socialite route. Like, she doesn't really like do anything, but she's still really famous.
Yeah, and Troy and like whatever she did, she ended up at the royal wedding, and so.
She also made a really good marriage. Like, I think they have a good marriage. I think they love each other very much. And he also got her invited to the royal wedding. And that is truly a match made in heaven.
Yeah. So it all has its pros and cons.
It all worked out.
It did. It really did. Well, I'm happy for Shay Mitchell. Another one added to the club. As you know, the club shrinks and it grows at the same time. Kylie's now, you know, in the postpartum club. But now we have Shay. So it's still exciting, though. I do feel like less of a kinship to just because I'm like so
you're almost there it. Like,
yeah,
you're not really in the club anymore.
No, I'm in the club. It's I'm as clubby as I'm like
you're as clubby as they come.
Yeah.
How are literally. You doing, by the way?
I'm doing good. I am
I can't believe you're still here.
I know it's the struggle thing. Is real. Like, for the past month I've been like, mornings are my favorite.
Yeah.
Now I still love, like, doing the toast, like, once we're into the toast, but, like, just even...
getting ready.
It's not like I'm sleeping so well, but it's, like, just having to wake up and then get out of bed as opposed to, like, lay there, even though I do need to get up because I do need to pee. It's just, like, I'm physically more exhausted. Like, everything hurts. It's so crazy. Like, I'm just constantly... Every time I move a muscle, I'm like, ugh. Like... Everything comes with a soundtrack.
I feel like you've set a really bad precedent here at the Morning Toast. This is our first, you know, maternity leave. And I just feel like you've set a bad precedent. Like, you should have been gone months ago. And I just want to say, like, I will not be doing what you did.
That is fine. Everyone is different. And whatever you need to do, you'll need to do. That's completely fine. And I'm just doing, like, whatever I can. But I also know it's nice to know that, like, you know, you have given me a lot of flexibility, though I have not opted to take it. But I do feel very much accommodated here at the Morning Toast with our pre and postpartum policies.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. We are a company that supports pregnant women.
We are. We are.
Don't get it twisted.
Are you ready for our next story, which our fourth and fifth stories actually go together, and they're kind of, like, iconic?
Great. Well, maybe it'd be a great time for me to tell you about Noom before we jump into the dual stories.
Yes, please do.
All right, you guys. Noom is unlike other restrictive diets, workout programs, because Noom Weight uses psychology to empower you with practical knowledge and skills you need to build smarter, more sustainable, long-term habits and behaviors. Their psychology approach is based on scientifically proven principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, which helps people better understand their relationship with food and why they eat the way that they do. Noom doesn't believe in restricting what you can or can't eat. Instead, Noom will give you the knowledge and wisdom you need to make informed choices that not only fit your lifestyle, but also help you reach your goals. Because you're the boss and you decide how Noom weight fits into your life, not the other way around. 5, 10, or 15 minutes a day, however much time you want to spend on the app is totally up to you. And there's good science behind Noom, you guys. More than 75% of users have completed the program. I know, Jackie, you had a lot of success with Noom, obviously, before you got pregnant.
Yes, I love Noom. I think it's like the perfect friend and companion when you are trying to set goals, reach your goals, whatever they might be, big or small. Sometimes it's just a lifestyle change. Sometimes it's just knowing what you're putting into your body just to like have a at a glance view of it. And Noom makes all of that so easy. I'm actually feeling very prepared for the next few months, knowing that like I have Noom on my side, because they really take a lot of the guesswork and the guesswork out of, you know, trying to change your lifestyle, but also they add the accountability that can be sometimes like it's hard enough doing the work, let alone like keeping yourself accountable. So Noom is wonderful for that.
Sign up for your trial and get psychology-based support and motivation to reach your goals at Noom, Noom.com/toast. That's Noom.com/toast to sign up for your trial.
Thank you, Claudia. Now, our fourth and fifth stories, we'll go with the fourth and then the fifth, because that's how, you know, numbers work. But we have Oscar nominations and we have Razzie nominations today.
So, woohoo! I'm ready for number five.
I know, me too. But let's just go through the Oscar nominations also to see if there's any crossover, something that's nominated for an Oscar and a Razzie. That's always so funny when that happens. Or like an actor or actress who's nominated in one movie for an Oscar and in another for a Razzie.
The Razzies are so shady. Like, I didn't know that they released their nominations the same day as the Oscars. Like, that is peak comedy.
Everything about the Razzies are iconic, and I think it's like a dream of ours to host the Razzies more so than the Oscars. If the Razzies are listening, we love everything that you do year after year. You never Please. Disappoint. Okay. Never. So here are the Oscar nominations for the big categories. Okay. Best Picture. We have Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, West Side Story.
Okay, 1,000 movies.
1,000 movies. I have not seen one of them.
Me neither. And what's notably missing is House of Gucci.
Yes, and Lady Gaga did not get the nomination either for Best Actress. And I think, you know, her fans are quaking. But I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say. But
me neither.
The reviews and the trailer, like, didn't look promising. Anyways, let's continue on. Best Actress, Jessica Chastain, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter, Penelope Cruz, Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman, Being the Ricardos, Kristen Stewart, Spencer.
All right, still no House of Gucci. I haven't seen any of these movies. I love Nicole Kidman. I love Penelope Cruz. I'm happy for everyone. I've never seen it. I love Olivia Colman. I hope they all win. Oh, and Kristen Stewart, this is her first Oscar nomination, right?
I think so, even though she was snubbed for Twilight, Breaking Dawn, Part 2.
Part 1 and 2. I agree. I hope she wins. I do love her, even though I also heard bad reviews about Spencer, so.
Yeah. Then for Best Actor, we have Javier. No, not these days. Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith, King Richard, Denzel Washington, The Tragedy of Macbeth.
What I heard, the only thing I've heard about any of these films is that, like, Will Smith, like, put his foot in King Richard. Like, he was incredible. So, he's an amazing actor. I actually am rooting for Will here.
Yeah, then I'm going to scroll down. We don't need to do, like, supporting, whatever. Just some other categories that I personally enjoy. Best animated film. I mean, I think it goes without saying it'll be Encanto, but the nominees are Encanto, Flea, Luca, The Mitchells vs. the Machines, Raya and the Last Dragon.
Luca was big.
Luca was big, but, like, Encanto was taking the world by storm. And I know so many people message me. I know that there's a song.
We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. That's the only part I know because that's the part that went viral on TikTok. And then this song also went viral on TikTok. He saw that the man of my dreams. That's all I know.
Very cool. Everyone, you don't understand, like, is like, you have to watch Encanto. There's a song about Bruno. I haven't watched it yet. And Olivia, it was like, Kaylor loves Encanto. And Olivia's like, you have to watch Encanto. Like, you're going to love it. Plus, there's the Bruno element. But I still haven't watched it. And, like, I'm sure I'll be watching Encanto, like, for the rest of my life.
Rest of your life.
I don't need to watch it right now, even though, like, it's iconic that there's a song about Bruno.
Watch Poldark. Watch Ozark.
Yeah, while I still can. Even Luca, there's a character named Bruno. Silencio Bruno. So
Silencio, like, Bruno.
Bruno is on the up.
No, that name is going to be like next year's top list and then, of names. Like,
yeah. No, it's iconic. I love Bruce. I miss him. Even though he's just in the other room.
We don't talk about Bruno.
And then best original song is always a fun category. We have Be Alive from King Richard by Beyonce. Dos Arguitas from Encanto, Lin-Manuel Miranda. We Don't Talk About Bruno was not even nominated for this category.
Disgusting.
Then we have Down to Joy from Belfast by Van Morrison. No Time to Die from No Time to Die, Billie Eilish. Somehow You Do from Four Good Days by Diane Warren.
So, obviously, there's, like, it's almost like a joke now. Diane Warren is, like, the Leonardo DiCaprio of this category. She's nominated every single year, and I do not believe she has won once.
That's crazy.
I don't think that this is her year. I do think Billie Eilish will win.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like Encanto might win. I honestly, I don't know enough of the songs, but, like, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care. Especially since We Don't Talk About Bruno, should have been the one. But they put forth probably this one instead.
Well, I'm holding on for Diane Warren. This year's her year.
Yeah, it seems like as good a year as any.
Yeah. Now, I can't believe Lady Gaga got nothing.
I know. And she, like, put her whole, like, life and foot into House of Gucci. And now she has to, like, do that again for another picture if she wants to be an EGOT.
She put her back into it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she, like, just leaves everything. Like, it's probably exhausting.
Well, she has the Oscar from Shallow. She has Grammys, obviously. Did she get a Tony?
No. No.
Lady Gaga EGOT. Singer-songwriter has 2 Golden Globes, which doesn't count.
No.
She got Harper's Bazaar. Like, talk about giving us crap we don't need.
I think she has an Emmy from American Horror Story.
She does. She has an Emmy and a Grammy, multiple. 2 Golden Globes that don't count. Obviously, a million Grammys. Oscar, yes. So she just needs the Tony. This is the only initial she hasn't touched yet. The superstar has not yet earned a Tony nomination. But we wouldn't be surprised if she brought her talents to the Broadway stage in the near future. Maybe suggest a theater adaptation of A Star Is Born. Harper's Bazaar, just stick to the facts, okay?
No, people have a really hard time doing that.
No, everyone's got to be like a comedian, you know?
Yeah, totally. Okay, but more importantly, it's time for the Razzies. Are you ready?
It's the final Razzie. Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Give it up for the Razzies. We want to host one day, and that's a magic number. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Feels good to express myself.
The nominees for Worst Picture are Diana the Musical, Infinite, Karen, Space Jam, A New Legacy, and The Woman in the Window.
I haven't heard of really any of these.
Woman in the Window is the movie that was based on the book that's like a thriller. Amy Adams is in it. I didn't hear whether it was good or bad, but apparently it was bad. And you've heard of Space Jam, obviously.
I feel like based on the titles, Diana the Musical should win.
Yeah. Okay, worst actor, Scott Eastwood, Dangerous. That's blasphemous. No. That ain't right.
Blasphemous.
Roy Hartranft as Prince Charles in Diana the Musical.
I think Diana the Musical might sweep this year.
LeBron James in Space Jam.
Ooh.
Ben Platt in Dear Evan Hansen.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Mark Wahlberg in Infinite.
Didn't see it. I think I've only seen one of these movies, but Ben Platt definitely feels like he gave the worst performance.
Then we have worst actress. We have
Ben Platt like takes himself so seriously. Like, do you think he got like an email from his manager this morning that like he got nominated for a Razzie and like it's bothering him? I do think it's bothering him.
I don't think anyone told him yet. I think they're trying to figure out how to tell him.
Yeah, delicately.
Worst actress. We have Amy Adams in The Woman in the Window.
Ooh, she can't win.
Jenna Dewall, Diana the Musical. Megan Fox, Midnight in the Switchgrass. Taryn Manning, Karen. Ruby Rose, Vanquish.
I'm feeling a sweep for Diana the Musical. I really am.
Wow. Worst supporting actress, Amy Adams again for Dear Evan Hansen. And Taryn Manning again. Taryn Manning, they're both nominated in both categories.
Wow. Damn. She was really bad, Amy Adams.
She must have been, if the Razzie said so.
This is so funny.
So funny. Also, in Worst Supporting Actor, Ben Affleck is nominated for The Last Duel. Jared Leto, House of Gucci. Well, there's House of Gucci's nomination.
Wow.
Nick Cannon, The Misfits. More Diana the Musical. Crazy stuff.
I'm pulling
stuff.
For Diana this year.
You are. Okay. You should also watch it. I'd rather have a day of watching Razzie nominees than Oscar nominees.
I couldn't agree more. So much more complex and dynamic.
100%. Anyways, there's some more categories that are hysterical, but may the worst actors win.
Congratulations, Ben Platt.
To everyone who was nominated.
Like, what does Hollywood, like, think of the Razzies? Because I respect them, but, like, is it something, like, it started off as, like, a parody, but now it's, like, something we've all come to look forward to every year.
Yeah, I think probably some actors, like, lean into it, especially if you're someone who was nominated for an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year. I don't think that we have any of that here, but, It's funny. Like, I hope that they can laugh at themselves.
It's hysterical. Speaking of hysterical, today's Tuesday. Tuesday is the day we do Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. So if you ever want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. And we will do our best to guide you, you know, in the best possible route. It's totally anonymous. So again, that's deartoasters@gmail.com. Here we go. Good morning, ladies. Here's an important fact. I'm 27, and here's my dilemma. I seem to have a type, and that seems to be 20 years older than me. My most recent exes are 45, 41, and 47. I've always found myself dating men who have daughters closer to me in age than they are. For the record, we've always become besties, and that's never been a problem. I really don't want kids of my own, so there's no issue. But I do find myself worried about 30 years from now, when I'm still in my 50s and my husband is almost 80 and needs a diaper change. Of course, my poor father isn't exactly thrilled when he's meeting my new man, and they're practically the same age, and he made a comment the other day implying he really wishes I would find someone younger. My mom seems to have made peace with this, but I'm torn. I've recently tried dating a couple guys in their late 20s, early 30s, but it lasted like 2 dates because I was just not into it. I recently started talking to another guy, and of course, he's 43. And of course, I'm super into him. For the record, I'm young, hot, successful. I'm financially independent with a great career, and I've purchased multiple homes completely on my own, so I'm not after their money. I'm just into maturity. So do I keep being that girl who dates old men, or do I suck it up and lower my maximum age on Bumble? Sincerely, a toaster with salt and pepper taste. I have to say, I think there's two things here. One, I don't think there's anything wrong with dating someone older, especially you're not, like, you seem like your motives are totally pure. But I hear you on the being 50 and wiping your 80-year-old husband's ass. I hear you. So can we date like a 35-year-old, like 37, 38, someone 10 years older, not 20? That way you're closer and they're still mature.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, you just because like 20 years old is a lot older than you, like, doesn't mean you have to date someone your old age, your own age. And I also think you make a very good point about like being attracted to maturity. And so if you are like having good relationships, I wouldn't worry about that so much. And I also wouldn't worry about what's going down when you're 50 years old, because also when you're 50, like, everyone's mature, and then maybe it's time for you to date someone your own age at that point. So don't worry about 30 years from now. Just do what makes you happy and try and find the best connection for yourself. And maybe you could, you know, high 30s it, find some somewhere in the middle, but the heart wants what it wants. And it does sound like
at the end of the day, you like who you like. Yeah.
You like who you like, and your motives do sound pure, and maturity is very attractive. So I think as long as you can, like, see, like, it seems like you see all of the quote-unquote issues and what could arise, mm-hmm. and you're not, like, keeping your head down or blind to it. So I wouldn't be so worried. I mean, it definitely, it's probably, like, a bummer for your parents. But when you meet the right person and you bring the right person home, like, I think it won't be so difficult to convince everyone.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you've come to the realization that you don't want kids, like, you're free to do literally whatever the fuck you want. And I think you should just listen to the song Who You Love by John Mayer, because it's really, like, you love who you love who you love who you love. So whoever you're attracted to, that's who you want to be with. It's your life. Like, you got to be happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
Agreed.
Next up. This sounds like a book, though, like something Colleen Hoover would write, you know?
That you would read.
All right. Hello. That I would read. Yes. Claudia and Jackie, how you dern? I'm seeking advice about a proposal disclosure. My husband's best friend of many years and the best man in our wedding has not told us that he got engaged on New Year's Eve. Here's some context. He and my husband were very close throughout high school and college. We've met his girlfriend several times over the past 3-ish years, and we really like her. They recently moved back to our hometown where we no longer live, so there's some geographical distance between all of us. We saw them over the summer, and the best man told my husband that he had bought a ring and was waiting for the right time to propose. Well, after New Year's, I was snooping around on Instagram, and I saw through someone else that he had proposed. I thought my husband would like to hear the news that from his friend directly, so I didn't say anything, assuming that he would text him within a few days. Neither of them are very active on social media. Well, now it's been a month. I know that if I tell my husband, he'll be hurt that his best friend didn't tell him himself. I don't think that they've texted in the past month, but they are in a somewhat active group chat with some other friends, so I'm surprised it hasn't come up. Should I just tell him and get it over with so he can congratulate the couple, or do I continue to wait it out and fake surprise when he finds out another way? Am I wrong to think that this is shady? Sincerely, the secondhand offended wife. Okay, first of all, it is shady, but it's also weird you haven't told your husband. Like, just tell him.
Yeah, just tell him. Be like, oh, hey, I was on social media. You see so-and-so got engaged? Because also, say when... I mean, it's weird that he hasn't
Jackie,
told
him. Yeah, Jackie, tell
him. Also, it's weird that he hasn't. What is that? I didn't say that.
That's what you just said. You did. No, you were like, just say, hey.
Are you okay?
Jackie, you rewind the tapes. Rewind the tapes. You literally were like,
what are you talking about? Are you okay?
You're gaslighting me.
Is there someone in the studio who can check
They can't
on
hear,
you?
But you are gaslighting me.
Someone check on her.
We'll rewind it. Continue. You said it. Hey.
Okay. I lost my train of thought, which is that it's weird that the friend hasn't told your husband, but they also don't seem like chatty, girly girls, like, who, you know, are up each other's butts all the time. But, and I'm sure eventually he'll tell. And then, like, what are you going to wait 3 months and pretend to be surprised? And, like, in these 3 months, you knew, like, just say to your husband, oh my God, I saw on social media so-and-so got engaged. And then he'll reach out and be like, hey, congratulations. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I think you're applying the standards for female friendship and projecting them onto, like, your male friends, your husband's friendship with his dudes, like, especially if they're, like, don't live near each other. It's definitely not, like, super normal that he didn't tell him, but it's not, like, the craziest thing. I think it's weirder that you didn't tell him.
Yeah, it's not super normal, but it's not the craziest thing. And I think, you know, you can put this to bed really easily and in a very benign way by just being like, hey, I saw this. You should, like, send him a text.
Honestly, you do sound like a pot stirrer, like, trying to make drama where there's not.
No, you're looking for stuff.
You're looking for drama. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
you're a stuff starter.
Who is it?
Hello, have we met? All right, third and final, Dear Toasters. Again, if you've written us in recently and we've given you sound, sage, or terrible advice, update us. It's not nice. You guys leave us hanging. Like, you take our good advice and then ride off into the sunset. Hello, Jackie and Claudia. First off, congratulations on everything the two of you have going on. Jackie, you'll be the most incredible mom to LC. And Claudia, my friends have told me your show is hysterical. Why haven't you come? Your friends have told you?
Maybe it hasn't hit her town yet.
I'm writing in because something happened that I still can't wrap my mind around and definitely cannot bring it up to my therapist. She'll think I'm insane. I've had a crush on a coworker of mine for months. The only problem is he's married. I know that's bad, but hey, I'm never going to act on it, right? So what's the harm? Or so I thought. A few weeks back, he and I were alone at a hotel bar on a work trip when things started to get a little flirty. Next thing I know, drunk me decides to tell this man that I think he's hot and haven't been able to get the thought of him out of my mind. I assumed he would just laugh it off, but no. This man, straight face, offers a threesome with him and his wife. I assumed it was just the Casamigos talking, so I laughed and changed the subject. The next day, it was as if nothing happened, so I just went on with my life thinking he had forgotten about that drunken part of our conversation. I was wrong. This morning, in the office, he pulled me aside to let me know that his offer still stands and that his wife loves the idea. I told him I'd think about it and get back to him. Do I do it? I mean, this man is literally my ultimate crush. Also, how the hell would someone turn that down without making things awkward? I should also add to the fact that I've never had a threesome before. Not that I'm not totally open to the idea, just no one's ever offered it up until now. Rude. Let me know and I'll definitely report back. Oh yeah, if you don't report back on this one, I'll kill you. Sincerely, a turned on but not wanting to lose my job toaster. I just want to say one thing before we give advice. Not wanting it to be awkward in the office is not a reason not to turn him down. Like, if you don't want to do it, you don't feel comfortable, turn him down.
Yeah, and I spoiler alert, I think it's going to be more awkward if you do it and then go back to the office. It's awkward no matter how you slice it, but at the end of the day, do what you want to do, not because you're worried about anything. Also, you're a toaster who doesn't want to lose your job. I can't imagine how you would lose your job over this if you are... if he asks you and you're consenting, it's up to you. Really.
I think you should do it.
I don't think you should do it. I think you should do it.
You know what? There are some moments in life where you just have do it for the plot. Do it for the story. Like, I think you sound like a fun-loving, cool gal. Yeah. As long as everyone is consenting and everyone's been tested and you're being safe, you know what? Have a little fun. She said she's not opposed to the idea of a threesome, so like, try it out. Life is about adventure, experience. Do it.
No, I mean, I don't think you should do it, and I can't imagine if I were you. Like, I'm also an extremely like awkward in the workplace person, so I can't imagine like having a threesome with someone and then like seeing them around. I personally would have to leave the job. So if you said, you know, you're looking for other jobs anyway, and like on your way out, you want to do a threesome, I could consent to that for you, but I think this is bad news bears.
I actually have a really good suggestion. I think you should tell him that if you do want to do it, I think you should tell him, be like, I'm really down, but I think we should wait until either one of us is going to leave or get a new job until we do it. So be like, it's like a tentative yes. Be like, yes, but only when the time comes for me to leave this job or for you to leave this job, then I think we should do it, because I just don't think we should like set ourselves up for like awkward intra-office communications. So like, it's a yes, but a hold.
Yes, but like, people stay at their jobs for years, and then what, we're just like walking around the office knowing we have like a threesome hanging over our heads? Still, yeah. Weird.
It's literally a Tessa Bailey novel.
No matter how you slice it, things are awkward now. But do whatever you want. I'm just saying, if it were me, I could not do it and continue to like work with this person. No way, no how.
Oh, let me say, I'm a big talker. If it were me, I would literally run and get a new job and start a new life and join the witness protection program. But I'm disassociated from this, and I'm just like hearing, like, you know what? But at the end of the day, none of what we're saying matters. If you want to do it or if you don't want to do it, like, you need to decide that within yourself if this is something you want to do. And if you do, I like my idea of saying yes, but only once one of us is getting ready to leave this company, because we cannot walk around every day like knowing what we know.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like you want to do it, but you're just worried about like the awkwardness that's going to happen later. And I'm here as the awkwardness on your shoulder telling you, don't fucking do it. It's not worth the big cloud of awkwardness. That's what I'm saying.
Also, maybe we can have other toasters chime in who have had threesomes. Like, are they awkward? Is it something that, like, is so amazing that it'll be worth all the awkwardness? Or it'll be, like, something that, like, wasn't even that great sexually, and then you have to put up with all the awkwardness in the office for the rest of your life?
Well, I think like that part could go either way, but it's the fact that like you're sleeping with someone who you work with, which even if you were two single people, like to just sleep together once and then like go into work every single day, like I would find that to be really awkward. But knowing that like you slept with someone and like he's married and there's no like romantic thing happening here, but like mm-hmm. we've seen each other's bits and we've been extremely intimate, like that's just a lot to like have in the back of your head while you're trying to type up the end of your sales report.
No, I agree, Jackie, but at the end of the day, like, I also think, like, maybe we're overthinking this, and, like, sometimes you just have to be crazy. Like, you know? Like, crazy. And I think that this is one of those moments.
I don't think we're overthinking this. I think this is big stuff.
I think you should do it.
I think so. But maybe, you know, maybe I'm prude. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're not prude.
Maybe it's no big deal. It's another Tuesday.
No. You're not being prude. You're being prudent, you know? Like, there's a lot to think about here, and I would love to hear other toasters chime in on what they think. That's today's podcast title, Prude versus Prude.
I agree with you.
I want to hear what other people have to say, and if you've had a threesome, like, we are honestly ill-equipped to answer this, so maybe someone with more experience in the comments can let us know. So that was Dear Toasters. Yeah. Thank you to everyone who bravely wrote in. Of course, we'll be doing this after Jackie gets back from maternity leave. So that was our final one for a while. But still, if anything awkward happens to you in the next month, write us an email, deartoasters@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's do our TV recap. Our first summer house recap, because we're both now finally fully caught up, is brought to you by BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, we talk a lot about BetterHelp on this podcast, and this month we're discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, some people think that you should wait until things are unbearable to go to therapy, but that's not true. Therapy is a tool to utilize before things get worse, and it can help you avoid those lows. And a lot of us have been taught that mental health shouldn't be a part of normal life, but that's wrong too. We take care of our bodies with the gym, the doctor, and nutrition. We should be focusing on our minds just as much. And BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online. Again, the Morning Toast listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/toast. That's BetterHelp.com/toast. Morning Toast listeners can get 10% off with that link. I mean, I've done therapy. If anyone who's done therapy can tell you, like, the value it has on just your overall day-to-day, all these things you're holding on to, like, let BetterHelp help you alleviate some of those, because life is hard enough. Mm-hmm. So, Jackie,
okay, give me summer house. Your
– I want to hear your, like, rundown of what you think of all the castmates.
Okay, give me a name, and I will tell you my thoughts.
Kyle and Amanda.
Okay, so many thoughts. First of all, they are married now, and it seems like they've, like, obviously worked out whatever what was going on while they're filming, but I am just going to try and go off of what I see on TV, and I also feel like Kyle is one of these people who it's like, there's Kyle the person, and then there's Kyle the reality star, and I'm sure, like, you know, in the months where they're not filming, their relationship is a lot more stable, and they definitely have their issues still, like any other couple, but the show is such a big part of their life, it's such a big part of their business, and he, like, I can see how he, like, struggles to deal with all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I'm only commenting on Kyle, the reality star,
okay,
because that's what I see and that's what I know. But it is painful to watch. Not only, like, is he so wrong in his mistreatment of Amanda, who is, like, the sweetest, most patient person. And, like, he's fucked up in the past. And the fact that, like, he's getting impatient that she's, like, bringing up her cheating trauma. It's like, no. That's part of the fact that she stayed with you, is that this stays mm-hmm. with her, and this is a part of your relationship. Even taking out the cheating, if your man is staying at the bar once everybody else has left and is not coming home until 4 a.m and he is so fucking drunk, like, cheating or otherwise,
toxic,
that is not fiance behavior. This man is, like, 40 years old, and I agree it, like, the alcohol is really ruining his life and his relationship, and he can't even see it. And then to come home and not even be contrite about the fact that, like, you're acting like a frat boy, but to put it mm-hmm. on her that, like, she's overreacting, when I actually felt like she was underreacting, I wouldn't have ever spoken. Like, I literally would have never spoken to him again. Ever.
manipulative.
Especially after, like, seeing his reaction. It's not like he came in and was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm not going to do it again. He came in and was being an asshole. Like, I can't believe she even puts up with that. Like, she's a much more patient person than I could be. But she also really loves him. Yeah. And just walking away from the relationship isn't really an option for her. Unless, like, it absolutely has to be. But it's a last resort. It's not something she's just always like, I'm going to go. So I have a lot of respect for her. But she also, like, in these first few episodes, she just seems so sad. Like, even when she was crying on her birthday because she felt like a burden to everyone and no one wanted to celebrate her. Mm-hmm. It's weird because being engaged is, like, supposed to be the happiest time of your life. But it's actually, like, the most stressful.
It's the worst.
So, like, you see this person and you're like, you don't seem happy. Why are you getting married? But it's, like, it's just the worst. Like, 3 months before your wedding is just, like, and I can't imagine that on top of, you know, filming the show. Like, all of the drinking culture and, like, everything that comes along with it. It's a really, like, toxic environment, and she's not a toxic person, so it's just a lot to navigate, and my heart goes out to her, but I also can see how, like, they ended up together, but while I'm watching it right now, I'm like, girl, leave, like, but also their business is tied together. It's not that simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay, Paige and Sierra.
Queens, looks, friendship,
queens, giggles,
positivity.
Queens.
Like, the two of, there, I couldn't say a bad word if I wanted to. I love their friendship. I love their style. They're both, like, they stay, like, above the drama, but they're both interesting. And I like that, like, they're both single and ready and willing and able to mingle. They are a joy to watch.
Danielle and Lindsay.
I'll start with Lindsay because everything that Lindsay does is then followed by Danielle.
Lindsay
is someone who, like, I don't feel like would be my type of person because she's very, like, she's a lot, you
know? She has Claire Crawley chaotic energy.
She really, really does. But she also has, like, it seems, like, a very big heart, and she can be, like, a softie. And I feel like she tries to, especially this season, I don't know what she's, like, what her overall story is, but, like, this season, you know, knowing that last month she had a miscarriage, it's like she obviously leads with, like, just being fun and, like, I'll deal with that when it's time to deal with it, but you can tell there's, like, a sadness there, and I just, like, my heart, I want her to find happiness and joy, but just, like, being like, you know, I'm gonna go to Mexico this week and we're gonna go see the Greek next, it's just a lot, and she's not, like, my kind of person in general, but I'm warming up to her very quickly.
Yeah, so I've watched last season and then, like, sporadically since the beginning, and I didn't like her in the beginning, and she's grown on me so much. She's definitely a, you know, unique, not everyone's cup of tea gal, but she's just, like, a fun-loving queen, and for the most part, she's, like, a good friend to everyone, and I actually really like her now, but it did take me a little to get used to. She's just, like, she's really not like other girls. I don't know who I would compare her to. She's different, so she takes a little bit, and now knowing that her and Carl are, like, so in love makes me so happy for both of them.
And Carl, I just want to say, is, like, a king, and I've actually seen, like, past seasons where he's been, like, the fuck boy and, like, really awful behavior, and it's just, like, sobriety is so attractive on people, most people, like, and I'm just, him, like, having his morning meditation and his run and, like, AA meetings and being sober is actually, like, I think a really good foil to the rest of the show, that it can be a lot to watch of, like, I mean, all of the drinking. There's so much alcohol consumption, and it's, like, and then you forget, and it always reminds me of Jersey Shore, where it's like,
that's what I was just gonna say. Oh my god,
the chemical effects of alcohol, like, it's a lot, like, the moral hangover, the anxiety that comes along with it, the things that you do that, like, you wouldn't have normally done. And I do think that, like, I'm sure, you know, the idea of being sober on a show about drinking isn't, like, doesn't sound like the best idea, but I think it adds, like, a balance exactly to the show, and he to me is, like, the most attractive one of them all. I mean, they're all so attractive, but
okay, now wait, go back, you skipped Danielle,
sorry. Okay, I was trying to avoid, like, I'm not here.
I'm not receiving what she's giving.
No, and she just, like, follows Lindsay around. And yes. She also is in love with Kyle. I don't know if anybody has realized that
yet. I said
that.
Okay, I know when, like, the last time I recapped Summer House, you weren't listening because, like, you don't watch a show. I literally said, like, she's such a pick-me. Like, all the girls are, like, fawning over Amanda. Like, oh, my God, are you okay? Are you going to get married? You have this piece of paper. Like, there's a lot of real shit going on. And she's, like, hugging Kyle at the pool. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And then also, like, even in the way she was talking about Amanda, like, at the July 4th party, Amanda was, like, you know, living her best life, dancing, whatever. And she was, like, talking about her in a way that was, like, very backhanded, you know, like...
Jealous.
Yeah, like, just trying to make her, like, look bad, but also while not being explicitly bitchy about talking about her. It was just... I think that she is in love with Kyle, and also the stuff, like, of her relationship. It's so funny when people are, like... I mean, I guess everybody does this, but... She's like, we're getting married. He's the one. You know, we've been together a year. We're living together. Things are perfect. Amazing. Like, couldn't be better. This is forever. He shows up and immediately they're fighting.
It's literally. Like, even though.
You can't get along for 2 seconds.
Robert is a pijam. Like, we were introduced to him last season. He's such, like, a team player. Oh, like, all the guys love him. He comes as much as he can. Cooks for everyone. He's a sweetie. Like, he's a pijam. So, like. If they're fighting, like, I have to assume it's Danielle's fault.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I was just going to assume, like, I don't know Robert from Adam, so I was just going to assume, like, Robert's not being there for her in the way that she needs him to be, but that's very good to
know. As far as I know, like, he's a pijam.
Okay, very, very good to know. And other than that, she's just, like, up Lindsay's butt. She's just always up someone's butt, and it's, like...
It's, like, boring.
Yeah, agreed.
I want to talk about Maya because she's kind of like fallen through the cracks, but I do feel like there's a lot there. And I think that she's becoming friendly with Sierra and Paige, but she does like talk to the group next week and start crying. And I don't know what she's talking about, but I kind of feel like she feels like an outsider. Like, I don't think anyone has really made like an enormous effort to get to know her or include her. And then like the final straw was when Lindsay was like, you can't come.
Yeah, oh my
Which
God,
is
that
so
was
rude.
So
Why would Danielle come? Danielle has a boyfriend. Maya doesn't. Two single girls going out on a Saturday night in the Hamptons.
1,000%. And where are you going that you can bring one person, but you can't bring two people? Also,
they went to a bar,
girls.
Jackie. They went to the place where they were at during the day because Lindsay was going to see the bartender and he was working all night. She was like, I promise I'll come back here. So it's a public venue.
Got it. I missed the first 20 minutes, so I missed that. I thought maybe she was going to, like, some house party or whatever.
No, they went to a pool party. It was, like, looked so pathetic. And because they're really not allowed to film at a lot of places. So this place that they went to, I've actually been there before. It's, like, a restaurant. It's a hotel. And they go to the restaurant. They keep pretending it's, like, different places.
Where is it? What is it?
I know one of the restaurants is called something with a C. I just ate there this summer. It's, like, random in Southampton. But they have, like, a pool party, and they had, like, a violinist. It was, like, very low energy. And you could tell nobody was having a good time. But so they were there during the day for a pool party. Then they left and had dinner at home that Maya cooked that looked so good. And then Lindsay went back because she had been flirting with the bartender and she promised him she would come back. And so she brought Danielle, who has a boyfriend. And why can't you bring two people to literally a club?
A public venue. A completely agreed. Now, thank you for that context. Yes, I had a lot of thoughts about Maya because in the beginning it was like she was slipping through the cracks. But then I was starting to feel like everyone on this show, you know, has been, even if they came on last season or the season before, like, they're very much a part of the cast. To bring on, like, one new person, I guess that other guy is new too, and
it's happening with both of them, like, the guys.
Yeah,
I don't know, I haven't seen one person talk to him
okay with it. It's like he has really sheltered himself with, like, his turkey and his protein and his
and
workouts.
His food shaming, like, what the fuck was that?
No, that's a whole nother conversation. But I was actually thinking, like, it must be really hard to come onto a show like this as just a completely new person and have to forge connections with everyone when everybody's already connected and they're not as, they don't have it as a priority for them to, like, get to know you. And I feel like she's actually doing a really good job. Like, she went to the brewery with that,
yes,
like, that
random
group of people who aren't even the friends that she came with. And I feel like even as a viewer, every week we're getting to know her more and I'm really liking her personality. But... like, this is, it's a very taxing, like, social experiment to come into a house in general. Like, a share house like this, not filmed, is a lot. Yeah. Filmed is a lot. To come in with people who are all, like, celebrities now and best friends and, like, is so much. So I think she's doing a great job, but
I think she's having a hard time.
And if she weren't having a hard time, that would be surprising.
So I think that's what she, like, sits the group down. I think maybe she wants to leave and then they keep her and then she ends up being, like, a lifelong sister. I don't know. But I think I think that has to be what she's talking about, because when Lindsay was just so rude, like, can I come? No. Like, excuse me.
So hurtful.
So hurtful. And then there's the Andrea, Craig, and Paige of it all. Obviously, Craig and Paige are so OTP. Andrea's cute, and I know he likes Paige, and I think he has good intentions, but it's just not their time.
Agreed. And, I mean, watching Craig and Paige roll out, it's definitely, like, it's not as seamless as I thought it was going to be.
It's not a fairy tale.
And, but, I mean, that's real life, so that's fine. But it really is so interesting, and how Paige, like, just wants to, like, be single. And it just has this, like, idea. And that's always what happens. It's like, I'm going to be single for a year. But, like, what about, what if love comes at you at 8 months? You know?
I know, but think
and
about
you're
it.
Like, think about it. Your I need Paige. 4 more months. I'm thinking about
think
it.
Think about it. You're Paige. Mm-hmm. You got famous, like, 2-3 years ago. Like, it's really fresh. You're so stunning. You're literally, like, an eligible bachelorette socialite of New York. Would you want to settle down? No, you'd want to have fun for like a few years and then ultimately settle down. So I just don't think she was expecting this great love so soon after her most recent breakup.
Yeah, I guess. I would love to know like more about her dating life in general. And also it's like when she's single during this time, is she really only seeing Craig and Andrea or are there other people? Maybe there are people who are like even more
eligible,
interesting, famous than Craig even.
The thing is, I love Craig. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell if Paige is only mad that he's hooking up with someone because she's famous. And isn't it interesting how they cut Cavallari out of the whole thing? They just keep calling
Claudia,
her Kristen.
Okay, so for the first two episodes, I was like, oh, well, some girl named Kristen from Charleston is in a triangle. Like, I didn't put it together for so long. No, I just thought it was like a random girl, like. Random. Then I put it together that it was Kristen Cavallari, and I was so shook. And it brings, well, first of all, so the question is, this whole time that they were all hanging out and, like, being friends and weird, like, which one of them was she hooking up with, if either? And now the answer is Craig? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, but then that's so crazy because of the whole Madison LaCroix, Jay Cutler thing. It's like, that was a nothing burger then. They weren't, it wasn't even about Austin.
No. So when all those rumors were swirling and they were all like weirdly hanging out, I just assumed it was Austin hooking up with Kristen Cavallari.
Yeah. And we all did.
But that's why like last week's episode was such a bombshell because Lindsay was the one who got it out of Craig. No, it was actually Craig the whole time.
But okay, I was when I was looking for articles this morning, I saw page 6 where Amanda Batula like did an interview where she like alluded to the fact mm-hmm. that there's a chance that Craig is like lying about hooking up with Kristen. Yeah.
Just to make Paige jealous?
Yeah. Like, so that's like, a possibility Craig, too.
Craig is very charming. Like, he's not conventionally, like, what everyone, like, he's just, like, different. And he's, like, kind of nerdy. I could see him being, by the way, I'm sitting right now with my Sewing Down South pillows. I could see, like, him pulling Kristen Cavallari. I could.
No, me too. But it's like, did he or didn't he? And now if he's like lied about it, that's also weird. It's a very interesting dynamic. And also when Paige was like, it's not, I think if it was any other like random girl, like she doesn't know, she doesn't care. But the fact that like now she's in this public love triangle and it's like Kristen, it's just who wants that? But then when yeah. Paige is like, you put me in this love triangle I didn't want to be in. It's like Paige already was in a love triangle herself with Andrea and Craig. So it's really like it's a mirror image, honestly, except for the fact Andrea's in the house with them and like she's yeah. like canoodling with him every weekend. But that's why you can't just like when she said
and
like,
it was her Craig, idea to not when be she exclusive.
Said if, when she said if Andrea finds out about Craig, like, that's not my problem. No, it's literally only your problem.
Yours and yours only.
And now it's becoming a problem. And you can't avoid, like, these things.
Whatever. It's nice to know that they become a couple soon because they go to Paige and Amanda, not Paige and Amanda, Amanda and Kyle's wedding, like, as dates.
Yeah. But then in last night's episode, like, Paige hooks up with Andrea.
Yeah, which, like, was dumb, but I get the point she was trying to make.
Yeah, she's fed up.
Yeah, but, like, I just feel solid. Like, I don't even need to, like, nitpick this whole thing. Like, I feel peace knowing that they end up together. And, like, no matter how they get there, like, I honestly don't care.
Yeah, no, they are so stinking cute. I want more of the love and less of the drama because, I mean, my ship is just
so it's a good massive. Show, right?
Yeah, it is really good. And the cast of characters are good. The house and the kitchen is so nice, and like they keep it nice and clean. And I saw the inside of the fridge, and it didn't worry me. Even though yep. Alex and all of his man meats are like coming through, he
and they obviously they go back to the city every Sunday, and they have a cleaning service come to the house, so they could only make it so disgusting every 3 days.
Yeah, no, so that works for me. And just like this man's commitment to fitness, like it is his like relationship, and he has no time yeah. for anything else. And he's gonna have
he's
to like
kinda boring.
Loosen up. Yeah, no.
He's gotta loosen up.
He's like married to the fitness life, and you've got like how do yeah. you go on a date with someone even if you're like worried about getting 12 grams of protein? You know? Like
yeah, 100%.
So
honestly, I just now my mindset is like I'm worried about Paige and Craig, and I'm worried about Maya. Like I really want her to, like I do feel bad for her. It's a hard dynamic, and I just want her to like be happy because she seems like a really nice, cute girl.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what next week is about, and hopefully they end on a good note, and we get more Paige and Craig. He needs to, like he just should be on the cast. I can't deal with like what weekend is Craig coming? Like,
I agree.
Craig needs to be there every weekend.
Agreed.
It's so really crazy to see him like out of his like. And we said this about Winter House too, but like. I feel like on Southern Charm, he's always the butt of the joke. It's like, Craig. But now, like, Craig comes to the Hamptons, and it's like, oh, my God, Craig's here. Like,
Jackie,
this big movie star.
Everything's coming up Craig.
Everything's always been coming up Craig. Like, lest we never forget that Craig has consistently been on the right side of history on Southern Charm. And I'm so glad that he's getting his just desserts and the justice that, like, he's been seeking now that he's able to, like, we're able to see him on a show where he's able to thrive and not be under, like, Shep and Whitney's boot.
100%.
Also, it just like shocks me when I think back to like Naomi and Craig and how dearly I shipped. And now like Naomi is on Southern Charm again and they are filming or they just wrapped it. They've been filming. Naomi's there. Like Paige goes down. Like I could see Naomi and Paige like being friends, and I don't think Naomi like would ever.
No, Paige on Watch What Happens Live said that, like, while they're not, like, friends, they follow each other on Instagram, and, like, Paige thinks she's really cute. They're not, like, but this was like, a couple months ago, so maybe since then they've gotten close.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's just so crazy how things change.
Yeah.
You know?
So we'll be adding Summer House to our weekly recaps, and tonight we've got The Real Housewives of New Jersey, second episode of the season, and it's just going to be a fabulous time full of fabulous things, and we're fabulous girls, and this was a fabulous episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, so that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Happy Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Goodbye.